will follow along in the Word of God. That's one thing about Kitchener Baptist Church you'll find is we major on the Bible. And we preach the Word of God, and it's the important part of our service to know what God has to say about it and about our life. And that's what we're going to be looking at here this morning. Ezra chapter 9. I'll give you a couple moments to find it. Ezra chapter 9. As we begin a new year, we want to look at this idea of reviving us again, reviving us again. And the reality is that each of us have areas of our life as Christians that need to be revived. We don't have to be ashamed of that. We don't have to hide it. The reality is all of us are guilty of it. There are areas of our life that are cold, and we need God to bring life to those areas once again. And this is the message that we have in the 9th chapter of the book of Ezra. A wonderful story is taking place. Let's look at what the Bible has to say. We'll begin our reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now when these things were done, the princess came to me saying, 'The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the land, from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations.'" Or the thought there is they're doing what they did, they're doing it again. What they did to be sent into captivity, what they did to receive the judgment of God, they're returning back to those abominations, or they're returning back to that iniquity. "Even of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Pezerites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Moites and the Egyptians and the Amorites, for they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers have been chief in their trespass. And when I heard this, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hairs of my head and of my beard, and I set down a stone-eyed," or he was astonished, verse number 4, "and when then were assembled unto me every one that trembled at the words of the God of Israel because of the transgression of those who had been carried away, and I set a stone-eyed unto the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice I arose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, 'O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee. My God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day. And for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, into the sword, into captivity, into spoil, into confusion of face, as it is this day. And now for a little space, grace, hast thou showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in this holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia to give us a reviving, to set us up the house of our God and to repair the desolation thereof and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by the servants, the prophets, saying, 'The land unto which ye go to possess it, it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the lands, and with their abominations, which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And after that is come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou art God, hath punished us less than our iniquities deserve," by the way, that's called mercy, "and has given us such deliverance as this, Should we again break thy commandments and join in infinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldest not thou be angry with us till thou hast consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? O Lord, God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped, as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. Let's take some time and talk to our Lord if we could. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your word. And Lord, I pray for each of us here this morning that this would not just be a reading, but this would be truth to impact our life. And Lord, help us to consider the source and the power of your word. Lord, I am convinced that you know everything about me. You know everything about each of us. And you know the struggles of our life. You know the direction and the decisions that we have made. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we begin a new year to start fresh, to begin strong, and to please you with our life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We have before us really a very sad commentary. And if you're a student of the Bible, then you know what's happening in this passage of Scripture. The book of Ezra is a chronological successor to 2 Chronicles. At the end of 2 Chronicles, Judah had finally been captured by Babylon. And 50 years after capture, Ezra begins to write his letter. Ezra records the beginning of the restoration and return of captive Israel to their homeland. The reality is that because of the sin of Israel, God had allowed the Babylonians to take over their land and to carry them away into captivity. But God gave them a space grace. He gave them an opportunity. And so a remnant of Israel returned back to Jerusalem, and God gave them an opportunity to right the ship and make things right. But guess what was happening? They were going back into the same sin that caused the judgment of God to begin with. And when Ezra saw this and he saw what was happening, he says, Lord, I can't even look at you. I am astonished that this would take place. I am astonished that we would return back to where we were. I am blushed. I can't even look at you right now because of the condition of my people. Now, during the 70-year interval of the official exile, God inspired several prophets to write during that time. During that time, we read about Jeremiah. He completed his prophecies, the book of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentations. The word lamentation means weeping, and we often call Jeremiah the weeping prophet, because as he's writing the book of Lamentations, he is seeing the condition of his people, and his heart is broken at the direction and the decisions that they made. Also, we have the book of Ezekiel. He wrote prophecies during this time as a captive within Babylon. And you know the stories of Daniel, also wrote from Babylon. And so meanwhile, back in Palestine, a small number of Jews not taken to Assyria or Babylon had intermarried with the Gentiles. And that was the problem that was forthwith with the nation of Israel. And so here we see really this plea of Ezra and this cry of Ezra for his people to get things right and to make good decisions. Now, during the Babylonian captivity, Jeremiah writes about the character of God. In Lamentations chapter 3, if you have your Bible, let's turn there if we could. The book of Lamentations, and notice what the scripture says in the third chapter, Lamentations chapter number 3. And notice here, as Jeremiah is considering the condition after the book of Jeremiah, you'll find the book of Lamentations and find the third chapter together. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 19. Verse 19, it says here, verse 19, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul have them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now I want us to understand this important truth, that as we look at the captivity of Israel and the condition and the state of Jerusalem, throughout all of this, there is one important truth, one character about God that you just have to understand. Even though Israel had turned their back on God, God did not turn his back on Israel. And throughout the book of Jeremiah and throughout the book of Lamentations and Ezekiel, the message is always the same. God loves us, and God wants to show us mercy and grace and help us to make good decisions and to get right and to follow him, because that is where blessing is found in our life. Because the God that we serve, he is faithful, and he is a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. He's a God of opportunity. And friend, listen to me. As long as we have life, we have opportunity to make good decisions. Good decisions. And I love what the Bible says in the book of Ezra chapter 9. It says that God has given us, or God has given Israel, a space grace. This means an opportunity. God has given them an opportunity. And as we begin a new year, as we begin a new day, as we begin a new hour, we have opportunity to make good decisions that honors the Lord. Listen, I like what Dr. Bob Jones III said long time ago. He said, do right until the stars fall. Do right. Listen, blessing is found in doing what God has commanded us to do. And this is where right living is found. This is where having a right mind is found. This is where God's blessing is seen, doing what God has called us to do. And so we're going to look at this passage of scripture, and we're going to look at really the application behind Ezra chapter 9. If you're taking notes this morning, would you write this down? I want us to see Ezra's observation. I want us to see his observation. And for us to see that, we need to go back in our text here, and let's look at what the Bible says in verse number 3. It says, and when I heard this thing, now this thing was the decisions of God's people. It was the decisions that they made to go back into their sin, into their iniquity. He says, I rent my garment and my mantle, and I plucked off the hair of my head, which in the Old Testament was a symbol of being serious with God and seriously seeking the face of God. And he says, I plucked the hair of my head and my beard, and I sat down a stone-eyed. You know, when we think of God's mercy, when we think of God's grace, we must think of the opportunity that we have to make good decisions. Listen, I just believe this. God has brought us here this morning not to be entertained. God has brought us here this morning to learn from his word and to make good decisions and to follow the word of God. Listen, our opinion ends where God's opinion begins, and the Bible is always right. We all have opinions, but the Bible has to be our authority if we are going to be blessed in this life. And the children of Israel decided that they were going to do it their own way. They were going to live their life their way. And so what does the Bible say? They violated God's law. They began to intermarry again. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 3, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take only thy son. God had given a command, and they totally went against the command of God. They totally turned away from the Lord. They totally lived their life their own way. Listen, the Bible was given to us not so we can be smarter or more educated. The Bible was given to you and me so that it would change your life. And if you don't understand this now, I hope that after this message, this becomes clear. God knows more than you. And God knows more than me. And God knows what is the right pathway for your life. And he doesn't want us to have all wisdom. He wants us to depend on his wisdom because he is the God of all wisdom. And he can be trusted and we can follow his way. And he'll show us the blessing. And so the Bible says here in this passage of scripture that they were given a command. But they made decisions and they determined that they were going to head the opposite direction in what God commanded. Think about this statement if you could this morning. Your life tomorrow will be the direct result of the decisions you make today. Your life tomorrow will be the direct result of the decisions that you make today in your life. And we see in this passage of scripture, we see Israel's course. They turned away from the Lord, but we see Israel's consequence because of their sin. They had much sorrow. They had much pain. They had much hurt in their life and in their children's lives because of their iniquity. Listen, friend, sin always brings sorrow. It began in the Garden of Eden, and it will continue in my life and your life until we understand God knows best. And sin always brings sorrow. The devil wants to present sin as something wonderful. He wants to present sin as something right and pure and helpful in your life. But friend, listen, all of Satan's, all of his checks, they bounce. And all of his apples have worms. And the reality is sin, you know what? It's going to fascinate you, but it's going to assassinate you. At the end of the day, sin will destroy our life. And the consequence of Israel because of their sin was sorrow and pain and hurt. And so they faced the consequence of God. And then they had an opportunity to make things right. And they went right back into that sin. And the Bible says that Ezra said, I'm ashamed. And I'm blushing to lift my face before you because of the opportunity that we had to make it right. You see, I see in this passage of scripture not only Ezra's observation, but I want us to think about Israel's opportunity. Their opportunity. The Bible says in verse 13, and after all of this has come upon us for our evil deeds, that's, by the way, 70 years of exile because of their sin, and for our great trespass, seeing that thou hast, God hath punished us less than our iniquities, that's called mercy, and hath given us such deliverance as this. Now don't misunderstand me here this morning. Opportunity does not cancel consequence. The reality is that God showed mercy on David, but David's young son still died. And we do reap what we sow, the Bible teaches us. And that's why the word of God gives to us commands to help us to make good decisions. But the reality is God brings us into situations where we can make good decisions in our life and we can right the pathway of our life. We can turn the ship. The Bible says that God gives us grace. I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 85 verse 10. It says, mercy and truth are met together. Now, mercy is, okay, listen, you've committed this crime, but you're not going to have to pay the consequence. And truth says, you've done the crime, you do the time. How in the world can mercy and truth come together? Only one word in the Bible. It's called grace. God's grace. Unmerited favor on our behalf. And the Bible says that Israel had an opportunity, a space grace to make things right. An opportunity to right the ship in their life. I want us to turn to the book of Psalms and the 85th Psalm together in our Bible. Psalm 85. Psalm 85. This psalm was written during the captivity of Israel. And notice here the words of the psalmist in this passage of scripture. Psalm 85 and verse number 1. Notice the words here that are given to us. The Bible says in verse 1, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land that was brought back the captivity of Jacob, that was forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Now notice here the plea of the psalmist, verse 4. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? The plea of the psalmist was to change direction, to make good decisions that would honor the Lord. You see, there was wonderful opportunity here that the psalmist had, an opportunity to do what was right. You know, I think many times in our generation, we're living in kind of the excuse generation. Kind of in our day, it's about making excuses of why we haven't made right decisions or why we're not making right decisions. And we kind of just make our decisions, and our decisions dictate our direction. And guess what? Every direction has a destination. So you make a decision, and that dictates your direction. And guess what? One day that direction is going to come to an end, and you're going to reach your destination. That's why Jeremiah, when he looked at the children of Israel, he said, listen, consider the end thereof. Take a moment and think about your direction. You're going away from God, not toward God. You're living your life your own way. And he says, just take a moment and think about the end. Just take a moment and think about the destination, because our decisions determine our direction, and our direction has a destination. And the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that if we're going away from God, then you need to be turned. And it's just easier if you're a Christian to make that decision yourself than having God make it for you. Because I've been in places in my life and areas in my life where God turned the ship. And that's not always a comfortable place to be in, when God has to turn the ship and God has to get your attention and God has to wake you up and God has to show you that this is going to hurt you in the end. And he will. If he, you know, the Bible says whom he loves, he chastens. If you're a Christian, he will. But the reality is that we want the Lord. We want to make good decisions. We want God. We want God to be pleased with our life. And friend, today I want you to know that today is the right time to make good decisions. Today's the time to right the ship. Today's the time to turn to the Lord. It's interesting, in a recent report, it indicates that George Washington, if he were alive today, he would own a huge library find. In fact, the New York's oldest library has a ledger that indicates that George Washington never returned two books he borrowed in 1789. Now, that's 220 years plus of overdue fees. And if, you know, we count in with inflation, the fines would probably exceed over $300,000 that George Washington owes in overdue library books. Now, I don't think they're ever going to see that money. They probably would love to see those books returned one day, but that probably is not going to happen. But the reality is that I'm sure that George Washington had good intentions of bringing back those two books. I'm sure he went through many days, and I've been there. Oh, I got to bring those books back today. I got to get that book back today. Oh, it's been a couple of days. It's been 3 days. It's been 5 days. I have to get that book. It's overdue. It's overdue. Nobody likes paying fees that you don't have to pay. The reality is that he probably had good intentions. But things just kept getting in his way. Excuses might have been made. And he never brought those books back. I say all of that to tell you that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to make good decisions in your life. Today is the day to turn to the Lord. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Make good use of the opportunity that God gives you. I say to you that today's the day to right that relationship in your life. Today's the day to forgive that person. Today's the day to call upon the Lord for salvation, for we don't know if we have tomorrow. Today's the day, backslidden Christian, to get right with God. I say today is the opportunity. Today is the space grace, and you're not guaranteed that you'll have tomorrow. So you need to make good decisions in your life today. Bernard Benenson was an international famous critic. He had a zest for his life. He loved living life, and even when he was in ill health, he cherished every moment of his life. Shortly before he died at the age of 94, he said to a friend, he said, "I would be willing to stand at street corners and have my hat in hand and ask passerbys to drop their unused minutes into that hat and live their unused minutes." Listen, friend, today's the day to redeem the time. Today's the day not to waste this opportunity. Every time we hear the word of God, it brings us to a place of decision. I don't know if you're listening, but I know God's at work, and today's the day that you ought to make good decisions. Today's the day you ought to get right with your husband, get right with your spouse. Today's the day you need to mend that relationship with your children. I'm just saying this, that you don't know if you have another day. Alexander McLaren was a noted Baptist preacher from England, and this is what he said. He said, "Every moment of life is granted us for one purpose. Every moment of your life is granted to you for one purpose, and that is becoming like our dear Lord, to be more like Jesus. Every moment that we have is to be more like Jesus Christ. That's the opportunity that we have. That's the opportunity that God has given us, and how sad it is we squander the opportunities that we have." Someone said, "Does thou love life? Then do not squander time, because time is the stuff that life is made from." God help us today to make good with the opportunities that God gives us. But let's think about this thirdly, and I'll be done this morning, our obligation. There's an obligation. Look what the Bible says in chapter 10, verse number 1 of the book of Ezra. After all of this was said and the condition of the people, look what the Bible says in verse number 1. It says, "Now when Ezra had prayed and when he had confessed weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of the house of Israel a very great congregation of men and women, for the people wept sore." They saw their state, they saw their condition, and guess what? They got right with God. You know, there's no softer pillow than being right with God. There is no softer pillow than being right with God. And I don't know where you are in your spiritual state this morning. I don't even know if you're a Christian. I don't even know if you placed your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Listen, I'm here to tell you that Jesus died for you and he loves you and you can have eternal life. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'm not talking about wishful thinking. I'm not even talking about a maybe. I'm talking about a no-so. If you believe the gospel and you ask Jesus to save you, he'll save you today. Now that's making good use of the opportunities that you have in your life. Amen. That's making good use of the opportunities that God gives you. And if you're not saved today, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. You're not guaranteed the next hour in this life. And so you must make use of that opportunity today. But Christian, listen, it's 2020. 20 years. I remember when Y2K hit. I was a teenage boy and I thought the world was going to end. I thought this is it. I had a 286 computer that was as slow as a calculator, and I thought the thing was going to blow up. You know what? Nothing happened. And that was 20 years ago. 20 years ago. It's 2020. And friend, today the world's not getting any better. It's a mess. I mean, if you're looking for hope and politics and policies, if your hope is found in people, then you're in big trouble. Because this world is out of control. People don't stand for anything anymore. They don't know what they believe in. They have no hope, and they're living their life for themselves. I'm here to tell you that Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells you so. and you can find hope in Christ and Christ alone, and he can right that ship, and he can give you a firm foundation to stand on, to build your life upon, to build your family upon, to have hope for tomorrow, for a better day. I'm saying today that this world is a mess, but Jesus is the answer. And we find the obligation here is to make a decision to follow the Lord. A good decision. To say yes to the Lord in your life. Another year is past. Another year is before us. And so let me ask you this question. How is this year going to be spiritually for you? Are you going to live the abundant life or are you going to live the redundant life? Are you just going to go through the motions and not really enjoy the Christian life that God wants you to live? Are you going to take full control of your life and turn to the Lord and trust in him with all of your heart and let God work out all of the details? Because I believe we serve a great God who loves us and cares about us. And he is merciful and he is full of grace. And if we would turn to him, he would change our life. The children of Israel made bad decisions. They had opportunity and they made more bad decisions. Hey, listen, these things were written for our example, the Bible says. Don't follow that example. It's a bad one. Turn to the Lord. And as chapter 10 says, some of the congregation, a very great congregation, turned to the Lord. Hey, listen, not everyone did. I hope you're a part of that congregation that says yes to the Lord. You know, that says yes to God in your life, in your family's life, that you're going to do what God says. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I pray you would help us to make good decisions. Help us, Lord, I pray, to follow you. And Lord, we are so grateful for the scripture, the Bible, to help us to live our life that pleases you. You teach us in your word that these things are written that we may have eternal life. And if there's an individual here this morning that is not a Christian, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. I pray if there's a Christian that's backslidden, living for themselves, that they would turn to the Lord, they would find that joy in living for you. Lord, again, I pray you would have your way in this invitation, we pray. As heads are bowed, eyes are closed, let's stand together if we could. My wife's going to play 249. Just as I am. And as the piano plays, listen, let's make good decisions to serve the Lord. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you take those steps forward? I'll show you from a Bible how you can be saved and you could know that you're going to heaven today. The greatest thing in all the world to know that your sins are forgiven.